Numbers chapter 27. Now this is after chapter 26, when a census has been taken, and it's been agreed that when Israel go into the land, they will inherit according to their families. They will all be given, each family, a unique inheritance in the land. Then drew near the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Manasseh. And he had daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes at the door of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against Yahweh in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin, and he had no sons." So this father of theirs had died in the wilderness in his own sin, and you wonder whether this man was actually the man who gathered sticks on the Sabbath, because he also died, we're told, in the wilderness, in his sin. Anyway, they say, "Why should the name of our father be taken away from among his family because he had no son? Give to us a possession among the relatives of our father." Moses brought their case before Yahweh. So there are times when people ask you questions and you don't have an answer. And go to God in prayer for guidance. There's no shame in saying to somebody, "I can't answer you straight away." I know these days everybody wants an immediate answer. Tap on the screen and there's the answer. I can't give that to you. So I think the law of Moses didn't cover sort of every eventuality. And that was purposeful so that people would think about it and would come to God in prayer about it. Well, God replied to Moses, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. You shall surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brothers, and you shall cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall tell the children of Israel, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers." It sounded like the inheritance of Zelophehad was going to go to his brothers. And the girls say, "Why should that be?" Well, it just shows here that the Bible is not at all against women. In those days and in that culture, it was all a man's world and it was men who inherited. But no, the women were to inherit just as much as the men. If there were no brothers, then the girls should get the inheritance. So I think you see there, that, as I say, that God is not at all against women, as some people mistakenly seem to think. In fact, the more you look at the Old Testament particularly, the more you see that the Bible is way ahead of its time in terms of the value and meaning that is applied to every human person, including women. Yahweh said to Moses, "Go up into the mountain of Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. When you've seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered, because you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Zin." You'd remember when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it and said, "Must we bring water out of the rock for you rebels?" And God says to Moses here, "You were the rebel. You rebelled against my word." So then it's easy to condemn others that, you're rebels in this case, when in fact you are yourself the same. This is why we must not condemn people, because every finger that points at another person, you've got three fingers pointing back at you. Moses spoke to Yahweh, saying, "Let Yahweh, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and who may come in before them, and lead them out and bring them in. That the congregation of Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd." I think you see there the truth of what is said about Moses, that he was the humblest man on earth. That he didn't think, "Well, I'm not going to go into the promised land, so, well, that's their problem. I'm going to die now, so that is up to them." No, he really wanted the good of God's people, even if he couldn't go into the land. And of course, the way that Moses sees the land but can't enter into it is a bit how the law of Moses gave people a vision of the kingdom. But through obedience to the law, nobody could get in there because everybody failed, apart from the Lord Jesus. So God tells Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. set him before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put your honour on him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may obey. Moses did as Yahweh commanded him. He took Joshua, laid his hands on him, and commissioned him. So the fact that Moses is concerned about, well, who's going to lead them after I'm gone, just shows that he really had the genuine good of God's people in his heart. And that's how we should be.